Okay, I'm bored in a house and I'm in a house, boy. Bored in a house and I'm in a house, boy.
First, while boredom researchers would probably argue that it's always a fascinating topic to study, now seems like a great time to be interested in boredom, with a lot of us at home and maybe finding ourselves unsure to do with ourselves. Maybe you found this time to be a great time to catch up on projects. Maybe you're more busy with work than ever. Or maybe you found yourself feeling a little bit bored. We have two guests joining us now. Mary Mann is the author of Yawn, Adventures in Boredom. She's a project archivist at the Brooklyn Historical Society. Mary, welcome back to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Also with us, James Dankert, psychology professor at the University of Waterloo in Ontario, Canada, where he runs a research program on boredom. He's a co-author of the book Out of My Skull, The Psychology of Boredom. That's coming out in June from Harvard University Press. James, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a great time, I think, to talk about boredom. A lot of people, a lot of the things we'd usually do, not available to us. Mary, have you been experiencing or thinking about boredom again more so than usual lately?
I have been a little bit. It's been coming up actually more for this show as an example, I guess. People coming to me to ask me about it. I'm a little bit of the expert in my friend's life on this topic. So it's fun. It's nice to be needed, I'll tell you that, Rob.
And James, you've been researching boredom. As Mary was just saying, it's a hot topic now. I've read some of what you and your co-author have said. Boredom isn't necessarily a positive or negative. It's kind of a signal, it sounds like. It's a message to us. What message does boredom send to us?
Yeah, that's right. Boredom is a signal, and it's a signal that tells us that whatever you're doing right now isn't satisfying. It's not satisfying some need that you have. And what John and I would suggest in our book is that need is really to feel like you're being effective in the world. Your actions matter, and they make some difference, whether they be big or small. And when you're bored, you feel like that's been taken away from you. And certainly now, in the midst of this coronavirus, most of us have had a lot of our freedoms sort of taken away from us. And so the things we would normally choose to do just aren't available.
And Mary, I've talked to you in the past about Yawn, Adventures in Boredom. You, I know, made the case that we should in some ways embrace our boredom and kind of learn from it. How can we do that?
Well, I guess, and this is fun because I actually interviewed James about this many years ago. There's sort of a fork, you know, you can decide to distract yourself from it, which doesn't give you agency, really. You're just being distracted. You're not actually doing a thing to help with the boredom. Or you can pay attention and say, interesting, I'm bored. Like, what would make me feel engaged right now? What might feel like the right thing to do that would bring a little more purpose to this moment, which is hard right now. I mean, everybody's stuck in their homes, you know?
Yeah. And James, I've encountered something kind of it's a weird version of fear of missing out. I'm not going out to do anything, but I could read this book or that book. I could play this computer game or that computer game, you know, or I could cook something. And I often end up just not doing anything. And that seems like not a very healthy way, James, to me, to deal with boredom.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about is a kind of paralysis of choice, you know, and you want to be doing something, you want to be engaged. I think that's the natural state for all of us. We want to be doing something that matters to us. But right now, it's hard to do that. And Mary's absolutely right that boredom is neither good nor bad, but you can sort of choose some passive things to do, like spend hours, you know, going down the rabbit hole of Instagram, or you can choose something that, you know, maybe means a little bit more to you. And I want to be careful, though, to say that, you know, you don't have to have something that has a grand level of meaning. You don't have to sort of say, I'm stuck at home with COVID, so I better try and cure cancer. Maybe you should just choose something that matters to you, even if it's small. You mentioned you might bake something. I did that myself the other day for the first time in decades. I baked a cake. It was horrible, but, you know, it occupied me for a while, and I felt like I was doing something that mattered for the short time. It would have been nicer if it turned out to be a better cake.
We're having an interesting conversation about boredom. James Dankert is with us, co-author of the forthcoming book, Out of My Skull, The Psychology of Boredom, and Mary Mann, author of the book, Yawn, Adventures in Boredom. Mary, when your friends come to you and say, yeah, I've got all this time at home where I would have gone out and done something interesting, do you have kind of a flow chart or some like basic starting points for them when they're confronting boredom, how to deal with that?
Not a flow chart. that sounds boring. No, it's what I don't really subscribe to so much are like those, you know, there's so many articles now online, you know, 15 things to do when you're home and bored, because we're all sort of dealing with this. And a lot of those things, they're sort of just the obvious things, like read a book, have a cup of tea. They're content filler, I guess, in a way. They serve a purpose. But I think boredom is actually very interesting and useful, and kind of a, it's an opportunity to think about what brings me joy. Like James said, like baking a cake feels good, can feel good. So to pay attention to yourself, I think, rather than maybe all the distractions that are being suggested.
And James, I guess on a basic level, why do we have boredom? Why is it in our psychological toolkit? What's it doing for us?
Yeah, what's its function? What does it do for us? Well, I think that it does very simply serve as that signal that you need to explore other options of something to do. So one of the things that you can think about when you ask what's the function that boredom serves is, do animals get bored? Because, you know, have we inherited this? Is there an evolutionary reason why we have selected for boredom? And I think the answer is yes. Anyone who owns a dog has seen their dog get bored and, you know, rip their shoes to pieces, mm-hmm. right? So I think quite simply that is the purpose of it, that it signals that whatever you're doing now isn't working and you need to do something else. And I agree with Mary too. I think these lists are not going to work for people because boredom is kind of like happiness. It's unique to the individual. So I can't tell you what should make you happy. I can't tell you what would make you bored. And I can't tell you how to fix your boredom. But as Mary says, pay attention to yourself and do the hard work. And it is hard to figure out, well, what matters to me.
Now, Mary, one chapter of your book, I know, dealt with not just our own personal boredom, but boredom in the scope of relationships. And I imagine there might be some people confronting that now, stuck in the house with their significant other maybe right now. Do you have some thoughts for them, for people who feel like, uh-oh, we're together and we're bored with this thing?
I'm married and we have a baby and we're trapped in an apartment in New York. So this is a very real question to me. and it's really lovely to have a sort of a partner in the, battle against boredom, if you will, like someone to get sort of silly and slap happy with. And I think what's nice, maybe the opportunity there is to recognize that we're both bored together and that's okay. Like, it doesn't mean anything bad about the relationship. It's just the situation. This is a insane, unprecedented situation. And it's fine to be bored. It's okay. And we can make it fun together.
Now, James, I'm thinking we got this world of social media where we get to see everybody else's, you know, highlight reel, the thrilling parts of their lives, the cool things they did or made or whatever. Does that make us even more, I don't know, suspicious of boredom? The feeling like everybody else is doing such cool stuff, so if we're bored, we're doing something wrong.
Maybe. I mean, I think that touches on the classic phrase that we're all familiar with, that only boring people get bored, right? Everybody else is living out this fantastic life, as you suggest, on social media. So if I'm bored, there must be something wrong with me. And I think that it's absolutely not true at all. What I think people are saying when they say only boring people get bored is they're saying that when I get bored, I deal with it really quickly. And so some people deal with it quickly and some people struggle with it a little more than others. But I think also the question that you ask makes me think about, you know, exciting and adventurous things that we see other people do. And you might sort of find this quite remarkable, but people who do what we would all consider to be adventurous sorts of things, like travel to the polar ice caps to do exploratory missions or even travel to the International Space Station, we think about these things as adventurous and exciting, but in those confined and constrained environments, people report being bored. And that's not really unlike our own circumstance right now. We're confined, we're constrained, we can't exercise our agency, and so we get bored. So I think probably trying to suggest to people that they should seek out thrills or excitement is probably the wrong way to go. Again, I come back to Mary's comment that you need to just, you know, relax a little bit, be calm about it, and think about what matters to you.
We're talking about boredom, why we feel it, what it means, what we can do with it. Mary Mann is with us, author of the book Yawn, Adventures in Boredom. James Dankert, psychology professor, author, co-author of a forthcoming book about boredom, Out of My Skull is the title. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you feeling bored on and off lately, a lot lately? What do you do about it? What do you do with that boredom? Do you find yourself frittering away time? Are you able to embrace some kind of activity that feels fulfilling in some way or another? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about boredom and what to do with it. James Dankert is a psychology professor at the University of Waterloo in Ontario, Canada, where he runs a research program on boredom. Mary Mann is the author of Yawn, Adventures in Boredom. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you bored in the house and in the house bored? What are you doing to deal with boredom, if anything? Call in at 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Gail is with us in Fish Creek. Gail, hello.
Hi. Great topic. I've learned through the years that for me, and I share this with my clients, that there really isn't an issue of boredom. Because if you have time to be with yourself, take those moments and have them and enjoy them, because sanctuary of your personal being is better than anything. You can't be bored. And then at the same time, if you feel like you need to be doing something, get out and take care of the maintenance in your own house. Take care of the maintenance of your own self, because those are the things that you don't get any recognition for. Nobody outside gives of yourself gives you any kudos for it, and you don't get any money for it. It's all for personal self, and those are disciplines that we really need to learn at our core of how to be disciplined and how to understand our personal time. And I tell this to my clients, and they just totally turn around on wanting to as they come to me, because I do consulting for
I gotcha, Gail. Thanks a lot for calling in. Mary, what do you think of what Gail had to say?
I didn't hear the question in it, so I'm not sure.
Just the advice she was offering. And one part of it was, you know, appreciating that time to be with yourself. And she had some project-type things to do with that, too.
I think appreciating time with yourself is great. I think it's not always easy for everyone.
Yeah.
Certainly, you know, when you're, like, in this situation now, I live in New York City. We're all home all the time. We're not supposed to go anywhere. We're sheltering in place, and it can be really wearing to just be looking at the same four walls all the time. And so what I actually think is helpful is, instead of saying, I can't be bored, I shouldn't be bored, I should just enjoy this time with myself, it's more useful to be like, all right, I'm bored. That's okay. Now what am I going to do?
Thanks a lot for that call, Gail. And James, getting back to, you know, that polar explorer locked in a room, or that space station astronaut, when we are just staring at those same four walls, are there lessons we can learn from these people who have really had to face boredom head on like that?
Yeah, I think it's sort of counterintuitive, but structure and routine is the thing that we might be able to learn from them. So for astronauts on the International Space Station, their day is structured down to 5-minute intervals, which, you know, sounds actually like it might be quite boring or constraining, but it's also predictable. And so I don't think that we can all sort of aspire to the level of routine and habit that an environment like the space station requires. But we can try and impose a little bit of structure on our days, given the constraints that we all have. And then that makes the day a little bit more predictable, and you know what's coming next and what to expect. And I think that can help keep boredom at bay.
Let's go back to your calls now. Marilyn is with us in Middleton. Marilyn, hello.
Hi. About 40 years, I had a baby, And my husband was in charge of taking care of it most of the time because I had a teaching job. And I came home one day, and there was a sign over the bassinet. It said, "Boredom is beautiful." And it just showed that he was able to change his whole attitude about taking care of that baby.
Oh, I love it, Marilyn. Thank
you
so much. Yeah, Mary, I mean, is it just that easy? Just that changing our frame of mind to boredom is beautiful?
I wouldn't use the word easy. James, I don't know if you remember when we spoke, it's been years now, but you described boredom as suffering and you were like, I use this term quite literally. Like, it is uncomfortable.
Absolutely. It's not, you know, this is an experience that however you want to describe it, most of us want to get away from it, right? And so I think you and I have both been saying, at least be accepting of it and not be afraid of it, not try and let it get under your skin and make you feel agitated. But typically, when we're experiencing boredom, that is how we feel. We feel agitated, we feel restless, we feel, you know, like we'd rather be doing and being something else at that moment, but we're frustrated in our attempts to do that. So yeah, I do think it is suffering, and I don't think it's trivial at all. I think it has some fairly serious consequences. But I do like the story from your last caller. I think there's a dirty little secret sometimes that looking after infants can be really boring, but it's also really quite meaningful.
Definitely. Thanks for that call, Marilyn. We're talking about boredom and what to do with it. We have two guests with us, both authors of a past or forthcoming book, Mary Mann, author of the book Yawn, Adventures in Boredom, and James Dankert, co-author of the forthcoming book Out of My Skull, The Psychology of Boredom. Back to your calls now. Bill is with us in Superior. Bill, hi.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just wanted to bring up a point that you might agree or disagree with, is that there's a fine line between being bored and being lazy. Because you got to think about, there's always something to do, but you don't necessarily want to do it, whether it be a chore, exercise, a task, a craft, it doesn't really matter. You may be bored with that specific thing, but then there's also an aspect of laziness to it where I really don't want to do it, or I really don't want to do it at this point.
Bill, thanks a lot for that call. I kind of feel that. James, what do you think, a fine line between boredom and being kind of lazy?
I think your caller's got it right, that when we're really deeply bored, we want to be doing something, but we don't want to do whatever's in front of us right now. You know, so I always think about the story of the child coming to their parent and saying, I'm bored. And the parent will say, well, why don't you go ride a bike? Or why don't you go play basketball with your friends? Or why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And the child says no, no, no to every option. And what the child is really saying is, I want to be doing something. I just don't want to be doing any of those things. I just don't think that's laziness. So I think that there's a big misconception about boredom out there that we sort of associate it with the kind of couch potato. And that actually is what we'd call in psychology apathy. That boredom is a state that is highly motivating, that the person wants to be engaged, but for whatever reason can't, whereas apathy is a low motivational state. The person doesn't really care, and that is, I think, closer to laziness than boredom is.
Yeah, Mary, we just have a couple minutes left here. Can you share some advice now for somebody who, you know, they're not usually bored. They usually get to go out to the restaurant or bar or club or whatever it is, and they've lost the thing now that usually is there. They don't even think about being bored because they got all that stuff to do. What kind of thoughts do you have for them in that situation now?
That's a great question. The main thing would be like, you're not alone. I don't know if you guys read about this. There was a survey in Italy last week and they interviewed almost like 3,500 people, all adults. And they ranked all the negative aspects of this stay at home situation and boredom was second, like way above loneliness, way above a lot of things. The only thing it was under was lack of freedom. Which is pretty intense. So a lot of people are feeling this way. If you're feeling antsy, restless, frustrated with not being engaged with stuff, you're definitely not alone.
And James, do you have thoughts? Mary mentioned, you know, not feeling alone and loneliness being part of this too. Can we take advantage of this time to reestablish some social contact to relieve our boredom, whether it's in a high-tech way at a chat room or picking up an old-fashioned phone or, I don't know, pen and paper?
Yeah, God forbid that you actually should write a letter and send it snail mail. Yeah, I absolutely would agree with that, that we can find ways now to sort of stay connected. So, you know, with my brother-in-law and his family, we're playing board games online. You set up a camera and a Skype connection and you play board games with each other, you know, 100 kilometers apart. I think we can make those kind of connections. And I think that addresses the thing that Mary suggests, you know, that you're not alone. We can get together electronically and complain about all the things that we can complain about and still make connections and look forward to the day when this is done.
It's a great place to leave it. James, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And Mary, thanks for being with us again.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
We've been talking to Mary Mann, author of the book Yawn, Adventures in Boredom. She's a project archivist at the Brooklyn Historical Society. Also with us, James Dankert, psychology professor at the University of Waterloo in Ontario, Canada, where he runs a research program on boredom. He's co-author of the forthcoming book, Out of My Skull, The Psychology of Boredom. You could still share your boredom solutions, what boredom means in your life, whether you're feeling it a lot more lately. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR.